Welcome to Battle Ready, the show where we help you face life's toughest challenges with courage and resilience. I'm your host, Ricky Chavez, and today we're joined by Tamika Jones, a transformational life coach. She's a veteran, nurse, speaker, and an author who has dedicated her life to empowering women through healing, growth, and radical self-love. As the founder of Flawless Life Coaching, Tamika creates sacred spaces for women to build resilience and embrace confidence. Tamika, your story and mission inspire so many. Let's begin by talking about something we all face, the moments when life feels unbearably heavy, and how do you build the mental strength to keep moving forward if it seems impossible?
Thanks for having me on your show, Ricky. And that's a good question. So mental strength, to me, my definition of mental strength is the ability to keep showing up even when life feels heavy. Right? Just to keep going, that perseverance, right? And it's never about breaking down. It's all about getting up every time, that resilience, right? And I think of resilience as a rubber band, right? We get stretched and bent all out of place in proportion, and you know, but as a rubber band, it always snaps back. So whatever life throws at you, just know, you know, mental strength is having a capacity to snap back.
You know, the one thing I do realize, like out of what you said, is it's not about what happens to you, it's how you rebound from it, what you do from it, right?
Right.
And that's what kind of defines people. So how do you define mental strength, and why is it critical during life's hardest seasons?
Yeah, like I said earlier, back in the military, I leaned a lot on my strength, which was built during my military years. And it was built in struggle, right? Not just in comfort. So some of the things that I did was lean on others, lean on my battle buddies, my airmen, my soldiers, to get through day-to-day missions, right? And also just that resilience, like I just mentioned, having that resilience whenever you're going through whatever contrast or these lemons that life throws at you, just learning to make sweet lemonade, being able to get back up, that's mental strength to me.
And so let's talk about the military. So what kind of exposure did you have to the military before you joined? Had you have family in it? Was it just something you were the first doing? Tell me about that.
So my family, none of my family was in the Air Force. Everyone went the Army track. I have a couple family members that did Navy, but mostly Army, and I'm the only military commissioning officer who served in the Air Force in my family, all generations.
We can keep going. I think that was just one of them flukes.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, I'm the first in the Air Force to join the military.
So your family, you have a family of enlisted people. I'm enlisted, so I get it. And you stepped to the dark side. You went to the officer side. How was that? Oh, hey, you know, we had to talk real here, okay?
Wait a minute. I didn't start out on the dark side. I started out as enlisted. I was a logistics. I started out in logistics.
Okay.
Yep. Flight line logistics. And I did that for a little bit, got bored with that, right? And then I crossed over into human resources, which is personnel in the Air Force. So sure, I did that for a little bit, got bored with that. And then I crossed over and became a nurse in the Air Force. Then when I retired, got bored with that. And here I am, life coach, right?
Well, you know, I think the amazing thing about it is you're showing a can-do attitude. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You didn't just settle. You went in there. You dealt with it, you checked it out, and then you took the next step. And that's very amazing in itself. And what kind of daily habits or small practice can help someone strengthen their mind and stay grounded in chaos?
To recap back on the last question that you asked me, I know I said I got bored with it, but I think looking back now, I don't think it was out of boredom. It was out of finding my purpose. And I finally found my purpose. So to answer that, I just wanted to say it wasn't out of boredom. It was back then. I told myself that. But I was looking for something greater than what I was currently doing.
Well, you know what? I understand how you've changed that up. But the reality is your purpose caused you not to be fulfilled in where you were at. So that can cause boredom. So, I mean, the fact that you took the next steps, that's amazing. You know, that's Because a lot of people just get very complacent, get very comfortable. And I think that's where you equated that to boredom, but hey, it makes sense to me, 100%.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned daily habits or small practices that can help someone strengthen their mind and stay grounded. Definitely morning grounding helps, right? Being intentional with waking up in the morning. A lot of times we wake up and what's the first thing we do? We grab our phones, right? And we grab our phones and we start working or we start answering text messages and all the things. But just taking 2 seconds to ground, right? And to say, you know, be grateful or say a little mantra or prayer or meditation, but just taking 2 to 5 minutes in the morning.
And put some kind of routine in place, you mean?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Also breathe. A lot of times we fail to breathe whenever we're going through negativity or something. We just, you know, just full throttle into whatever issue it is. But sometimes it's taking that step back, breathe, pause, right? And then find something that you're most proud of. And sometimes that helped me when I'm going through things. Even when driving, I'm like, have to be intentional with breathing, right? And pause at that moment and find your happy place. Find something that makes you extremely happy. And it changes my mood every time. It changes,
You know, you 2 points that came out with that. You know, I used to be a director of HR, right? And I used to do all these classes. And it's one of the things I always talk about is being nice to others. And I told them, you don't know what happened to that person before they took the left or the right into the parking lot. So, you know, that mindset. Another thing is about setting up the habits. So I'm sure you've read the Miracle Morning, right? The Miracle Morning is like a setup on doing things in the morning. And one thing that I found helped me a lot was journaling. How do you feel about journaling?
Oh, I love journaling. Journaling was part of my healing process after the military. I journal often. Yes.
Well, nice. I know that I tend to go back and read the journals and I look at what's going on in my life. You know, when I had like maybe a little struggle or some challenges and now I'm doing really well. I want to try to maintain, what was in my mind when I was doing well, right?
Yes.
And try to copy that. Okay.
Exactly. And that's what I tell some of my clients, well, all of my clients, hey, write down, journal at the end of the day, reflect back on your day and see what you could have done differently, what any wins that you had throughout the day. And that helps, like you said, that helps you to create your future self because you can look back and say, wow, I've grown tremendously, right? So yeah. And then focus on what you can control in life, not what you can't. Many times we spin our wheels, right? Focusing on all the things we can't control. And we become stressed out, right?
Them circles, right?
Yes, definitely.
The circle of influence, circle of concern, right? Everybody stays so much time in their circle of concern. It's raining outside, but we can't change the rain.
Nope. It's hot in Texas. Can't change the heat.
No, ma'am. That's right. So how can gratitude and focus on what's going right shift someone's outlook when everything's feeling heavy?
So gratitude rewire your brain to see what's possible in life, right? It helps you reflect on all the things that are positive and that's going on or that's happening or it has happened in your life, right? And when you come in from a sense of gratitude, right, that's where things start. Positive things and good things start happening or coming to you because you're being grateful in the moment, right? So what I believe is how you feel, that's what you attract, right? How you feel, how you act or react, you're going to get the same thing back. Someone said, if you start your day out and you meet an a-hole, you just met an a-hole. But if you're an a-hole and you go out in the world, you meet a lot of a-holes, right? You have to look at yourself in the mirror to see if, okay, I might be the a-hole because everybody can't just be an a-hole, right?
So what are you attracting?
Yes. Yes.
I gotcha. You know, I know one of the things that was the hardest for me, especially when I was in recruiting command, was I just felt it was real heavy, right? And I had this first sergeant sit down and say, hey, man, just no matter what, Everybody focuses on the bad, but every morning when you get up, write down 2 to 3 blessings. And even if you have to think about it, there is a whole lot of other people that are struggles are way outweigh your struggles. And if you think about all your blessings, you might refocus before you hit the road to whatever you're going to do.
Yes, I agree. I know my lowest season after retirement, I started, like you, journaling. Right now, the 3 things every day that I was grateful for.
Right.
And everything began to shift from me feeling despair, hopeless, and all the things to hope, right? So just like you said, these gratitude is everything.
So, you know, and being that you're focusing on the women and on with your transformation, right? Do you deal with a lot of female veterans?
Yes, a lot of female veterans. That's my circle, my community, veterans, women entrepreneurs, single moms, everything who I am pretty much is the women that I say, you know, has my heart, near and dear to my heart.
That's amazing. So you are able to share your journey, your bumps and bruises, and give them hope.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect. We'll be right back with Tamika talking a little bit more about her journey and her organization. Welcome back to Battle Ready. If you're loving what you're watching, don't miss a moment of Battle Ready or any of the favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming, both in English and in Spanish. If you prefer to listen on the go, catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between. Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So now I'm here with Tamika Jones, the CEO and founder of, I'm going to look at it, it's called Flawless Life Coaching. And yeah, it's very amazing. Our first segment, we talked about, you know, dealing with the heavy weight. Now we're tackling an issue that many people struggle with, and that's creating healthy boundaries. For so many, saying no feels impossible, and it often comes with guilt. Tamika, let's talk a little bit about how boundaries are not walls, but bridges to healthier relationships.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ricky. So why do people feel guilty for setting boundaries? I think we're conditioned, right, to just saying yes, right? Like, and that's just from a place of being a good person, right? So I think a lot of times we say yes just because we don't have the courage, right, or the confidence to say no. And many times we seek validation and love from others, and that can be a reason why we say yes to a lot of things. I know growing up, I don't think I've ever heard, or maybe a couple times, but my mom, she was always a yes person, right? Everything was yes or maybe. And I think her lifestyle kind of was a result of her not setting healthy boundaries in life with relationships, with family members, with, you know, all things, right? So I think setting healthy boundaries is important. And you set them out of love, you know, not out of fear. But when people are constantly saying yes to everything, that's a fear, right? That's a fear versus saying no out of love.
I think people are very much interested in just pleasing others, you know? Yeah. And then sometimes they're their own worst enemy, right?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
How can someone start saying no in small ways without feeling like they're letting people down?
I think start saying no, like many no's. I can't do that today, but I can do it tomorrow, right? That's a boundary, right? And sure. I tell my women who I coach, I tell them no is a complete sentence. You don't need anything else behind that no. No is a complete sentence, and walk away. And the more you do it, the more you're going to be confident doing it. And then the more you're going to feel good about doing it. And knowing that you owe no one a justification of your no. Your no is your no.
Sure. I know that a lot of times, I told you earlier, I have a real estate team. And we're all about taking care of our customers, our clients. And sometimes they're a little more overbearing than others. And I tell them that, listen, you got to understand, if you're physically sick and you need to see a doctor and you want to go right now at 8 o'clock and the doctor is busy and he says, no, I'm available at 9. You don't feel any different about it. You just go at 9, right?
Yes, I agree. Yes.
Okay.
Those expectations, right, that people put on us, right, and expect us to say yes, right? And a lot of people do. They say yes until what happens? They become burned out, overwhelmed, right? And once again, like you said, these not being able to set boundaries come from a place of, like you said, people pleasing.
So, and the question before is going to be about boundaries, but you touched that. But how do healthy boundaries actually improve relationships instead of damaging them?
Healthy boundaries, I think boundaries breed respect, right? So when you're setting boundaries, you're not only respecting yourself, but you're respecting that other person as well, because you're setting the standard, right? And when you protect your energy, you show up fully and confident.
You know, now I haven't been in the military in 1,000 years, and you're pretty fresh out of it. I remember we didn't say no to anything. So it was just something inbred in us, right?
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
was that transition for you when you got out here into the civilian world? And it was like you were saying yes, I'm assuming, at the beginning, and then you started finding out how different it is out here.
Yes. And I think my transition to as an officer, right, the roles and the duties as an officer, I had to say no to some of my troops, but in a different way, right? And same with leadership.
Sure.
No, we can't take on this extra task that you've given us. We already have tasks. Do more with less is what we're doing.
And, I understand.
Yep, you understand so well, right?
Hurry up and wait. Yeah, got
yes,
that. Sure.
That part too. So I was able to tap into the healthy boundary setting a little bit in the military. But when I transitioned out, it was difficult for me to say completely no with no justification at the end, right? I always wanted to give no, I can't today because I have this, that, and the other to do. And I feel so bad. I want to do it, but I can't, you know, that's no. No is no. And be okay with your no. So, yeah, my transition was a bit rough.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I say yes, my transition was a bit rough with healthy boundary setting.
You know, but as a leader in the military, your no was more for the welfare of everybody, not so much for you. But now you're here as a CEO and founder of your company, so you're that person, right? So now right. The no's are a little bit more kind of...
personal.
Yeah, sure. The personal, professional, business-wise, and it's... It's that makes it probably a little bit harder, I would assume.
Yes, it does, especially with a client that you know you want to help to help transform their lives, and you see the growth, and you see that they're willing to do the work, but they're not ready mentally or financially, right? Or they're not ready to do the work. Right. But, you know, you see them and you know they have so much potential and you see their worth, but they don't see their own worth. Right. And they're ready, but they're not ready to take the first step as far as, you know, changing, shifting their mindset. So sometimes you have to say, no, not all clients are your clients. Right. Not sometimes you just have to wait, you know, wait for what they say. Not all money is
good money.
Good money, right. Or the people behind
yeah.
So sometimes you have to pick and choose your clients because, you know, not saying that, I don't know how to word it. Not saying that I can't coach any woman, but some women aren't ready. It's not their season.
No, and I totally listen. I totally agree with that. I mean, you give them goals to meet to be ready for that part of the coaching that's really going to help them the most. But I'm assuming there's got to be a few hurdles that, they need to prepare themselves for to make it the most effective. Is that kind of right?
Yes, absolutely. You hit it spot
Okay.
on. Yep, spot on.
So if someone's afraid of disappointing others, what mindset should do you need to embrace to protect their well-being?
Just think of it as saying no to them, saying yes to self, right? Self-love is not selfish, right? It's self-perseverance. Because a lot of times, once again, we get burnt out and overwhelmed and stressed out and stretched too thin. So now we're giving some of ourselves to this person, some of ourselves to this task, some of ourselves to this job, and nothing's ever completed, right? Because you overextending yourself and giving yourself too much. So nothing's ever 100% completed. You taste testing all over the place, but not eating your full course meal, right?
Sure.
So, and
I
then
know
once
that
again,
one of the
self.
things for me was to learn that to be able to take care of others, I have to take care of myself, right?
Self-care, yes. Yes.
And if I'm focused and I'm shooting on all cylinders, then my effectiveness with others is going to be in a better way, I would assume.
Right. Because think of it as a cup, too, right? You constantly pouring into other people. Your cup is full, right? You full. You're good for the day, right? And you go into work, right, with that full cup, and you constantly pour it into other people, right? But not taking time to pour back into yourself. By the end of the day, right, your cup is depleted. When you go home, you have nothing to give to your husband or your wife, right, or your children, right?
So it's okay to get a reset.
Yes, press reset.
That's it. Okay. Well, so tell everybody how they can get a hold of you. If there's a woman out there, a young lady out there that's hit that wall, kind of disillusioned with what's going on, how will they get a hold of you?
My website, you can go to my website, www.flawlesslifecoaching.com, or you can email me, same thing, flawlesslifecoaching@gmail.com. And I'm on social media, Instagram and Facebook, same thing, all things Flawless Life Coaching.
All right. And I see up there on the top right corner, it says connect with me. So they can
Yes.
connect, right, fill out a form. They can schedule a one-on-one session with you, do a discovery call.
Yep, all the
So
things.
tell me about those steps. They fill out the form or can they go right to a one-on-one coaching call or what are the steps you're looking for?
Definitely, you can go click on the link and you can go right to the one-on-one discovery call. You put in your information, I'll ask a little bit of information about yourself, and you schedule the time and date, and then I'll meet with you one-on-one. And my coaching programs are one-on-one. I have an 8-week coaching program and a 12-week coaching program. So it's just me and you for the 8 weeks or the 12 weeks.
Is there ever any time that you have and your experience so far brought in like family members or any other people that might could help them in these situations, or just straight one-on-one?
It's basically one-on-one, and if it's something that I can't help you with, I do have resources that can help you. I would send you to someone who definitely can help you. So yeah.
I love that the resources, right? I'm a realtor, right? So our joke is, I got a guy. If you need your roof done, I got a guy. If you need your pool, I got a guy. Everything's different, so I got a guy, right? So you have your resources. That's
Yes, I
perfect.
do. Yeah, definitely.
Well, good. Hey, listen, we're gonna keep Tamika on hold right now. We're gonna get ready to go into this commercial and come back to life coaching with Tamika. Welcome back to Battle Ready. In this segment, Tamika and I are exploring one of the most powerful yet challenging journeys, learning to love yourself fully. Not just love yourself, but love yourself fully. For so many people, self-love feels out of reach, often confused with selfishness, when in reality, it's the foundation of everything else. Welcome back, Tamika.
Thank you, Ricky.
So why is loving yourself so hard for many people, and how does that lack of love affect every area of your life?
I mean, because many of us, you know, grew up hearing that, you know, love had to be earned, right? You had to earn love. You know, and we look everywhere to find that love, you know. And for me growing up, you know, I grew up, my mom was a single mom, right? And it was three of us, and I didn't have a father growing up. I didn't even know who my father was up until here recently. And trying to look for that love, because you know they say, right, when you're a little girl, the first person you fall in love with is your father, right? You tend to find someone, your husband, that mirrors your father, has some of the traits as your father, you know. So I didn't know what that looked like. So as a young woman, I was in and out of relationships trying to find that love, right? That love that I never had from my father, and that love that I never had from my mother, who didn't know how to love herself, right? And now that I'm looking back, you know, I give my mother so much grace, right? Because she did the best she knew how with the mindset, right? She had at that time and the resources and the community she had surrounding her. But a lot of times, it's hard to love yourself, especially not with women, right? We beat ourselves up so much. For me, I went through years of, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I'm not smart enough. You know, in the military, I'm not fast enough. You know, I'm not beautiful enough. All the things. I'm not white enough, right? You know, my hair is too kinky. You know, I have a lazy eye. I hate my birthmark. You know, all the things. But
finding all the faults, not
yes,
seeing all the
all
good
the
things.
Flaws. But we have to turn those flaws and make them our superpowers. And we'll talk about that later. So it's hard because we don't really know what loves look like. You know, and a lot of times we think external things points us in a direct right in that direction to show us what love is. But love is something that's already in us. You know, God put it already. It's already in us. We just have to activate it and turn it on. And that's what I tell my women too.
Like that country song, looking for love in all the wrong places.
All the wrong places, and it's within.
So what's the difference between healthy self-love and selflessness? And why do people always confuse the two?
Selfish is only me, right? It's about me, my needs, my wants, my desires, my, right? And self-love is me too, right? I love myself, I love me, and I love you, right? I love myself enough to set healthy boundaries. I love myself enough to pour into you, but I'm also gonna pour into myself as well. And after I retired from the military, I went on this whole self-love journey trying to discover who Tamika really was or who Tamika really is, right? Before the military, broken young woman. During the military, broken woman. And also a woman who didn't have an identity, right? Because the military was our identity, right? We breathe, sleep, the military, all things military. So when I got out, I'm like, wow, who the hell is Tamika? What do I want? What are my passions? What are my desires? You know, how do I show up in life, you know, other than being Major Jones, right? No, I'm Tamika, right? Other than being a nurse. All these identities that society give us, right? And that we give ourselves as well. We get lost in who we really are and what we really want. But we start with self-love. Everything goes back to that love.
You know, I think though, and I'm gonna put a jab at officers real fast. I think officers do a better job because y'all call each other by y'all first names. I don't think I even knew my first name till I was probably an E8, getting ready to get out. It was either first sergeant, nothing else. Even the other sergeants called us first sergeant. We didn't even use our last name. And I remember one time I had a colonel call me in early on for. And he called me by my first name, and I about lost it. I didn't even know who he was talking to. So you guys got a little bit programmed. Now you're out in the civilian world. Everybody's, you know, Mr. Mika this, Mr. Mika that. So tell me about your transition. And I know I'm going a little off script here. What's the transition between first getting out, and what are the first things you do? What did you do?
When I got out, I didn't do anything. I just, like I said, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, this is it. What do I do? And there are so many resources out there. You just have to find them as far as transitioning, because it's difficult for us to transition. Being in the military for so many years and then transitioning into civilian life, it's different. But for me, I was going through other things in life. Like I said, the whole finding who Tamika is, what I want as a single mom. So I hired a life coach. I hired a life coach, and I had my therapist, mental health therapist. So for me, super dope to have two different teams, right? You have the
Perspectives, I'm
therapist.
assuming.
Yeah, the therapists help you unpack the crap, right? From your past, childhood, all the things, and life coach, which helps you put that crap in the luggage and take it out to the side of the road, right? And close the garbage down, the garbage can down on it, and walk away and walk confidently away towards your future. So I had both, right? And that kind of inspired me. She kind of inspired me to become a life coach and help women hold their hand through their process from transitioning from a divorce, transitioning, learning to love themselves wholeheartedly and knowing what self-love really means and not just the surface thing, right? It's a mindset thing. You have to be willing to change your mindset about who you are and know who you are. And it was work for me. So that's how Flawless Life Coaching developed. The name was a divine download. Flawless, because we think of the word flawless, right? We think of all the things that are aesthetically beautiful, right? We think about the J-Los, the Beyoncés, the Celine Dions, all the things that's beautiful. But it's not about that. It's about being who you are, walking in your truth, and becoming the best version of yourself. That's my definition of flawless, right?
Perfect.
So that was my transition after the military. And I didn't start out with coaching. I started out with apparel, right? So afraid of public speaking. Once again, that was a fear. And I'm like, oh, I could tell my story through my t-shirts. Yeah, I knew I wanted to give back and to help women, but becoming a coach or a speaker was not it. And I know it has to be from a greater source, right? Because if you ask Tamika to speak in public, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. Cause terrified of public speaking. So it's a greater passion and purpose and calling in my life, right? So that's how my steps toward transitioning out of the military kind of went slowly.
So, are there some practical ways that you, what are some of the things you did to show yourself love? And how can a woman, do some practical things to show themselves love and help them feel, if they feel, especially if they feel undeserved?
Right. So Ricky, I'm glad you mentioned that. So for me, I'm the affirmation queen, right? So I speak affirmations every day, all day on my window. I have them on my mirror in the bathroom. I have them in my car. And I just affirm who I am every day. Every day I affirm. I'm bold, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm healthy. I'm millionaire renowned Tamika. Right? All these things I affirm daily, right? And then when you affirming these things, you choose one affirmation and you can just, let's just start out with, I am healthy. I am healthy. So you say it every morning, every night, every evening, you're saying it, but don't just say it. Because just saying it, just saying it. You have to feel it. You have to feel it in every part of your body. And then not only feel it, you have to believe it. Because you can say it and feel it and don't believe it, and it's not going to work. But if you do the three, it's going to work every time. But you gotta have the mindset to believe it, feel it, and say it, right? And do one thing that brings you joy, whatever that looks like for you daily or weekly, right? For me, it's sightseeing and in history. Me and my daughter go out and we'll find a museum or something. And that brings me joy. I enjoy doing that. And then
And there's
forgiveness,
some really
right?
cool places in San Antonio to go check out for sure.
Yes. And the last one is forgiveness. Forgive yourself and forgive others, right? That's a daily self-love practice, because when you forgive, you're not going to forget, obviously, but forgiveness, right? You release you release yourself, right? From because you're not holding that person hostage. You're holding yourself hostage, right? Because the lack of forgiveness. So once you forgive others, you forgive yourself, and you be able to move forward to becoming the best version of yourself.
But you also have to be really truthful to yourself, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's amazing. You know, I know I talk to some of my agents and I always tell them, hey, you can't fix something that you don't know is broken. But you can tell a fib to somebody else, but you can't fib to yourself, right?
Yes.
I hate to say the word lie, but it's just the same thing, you know. You can put on this front and never get around it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then these false narratives too, you know, sometimes we do tell ourselves these false narratives, and that becomes our identity as well, right? I'm not a great public speaker, right? That's something I told myself over and over and over. I hate public speaking. I'm an introvert, all these little things, right? So that becomes my story, right? But not until I identify, which is self-awareness, hey, I'm a great speaker. And however I speak is how I choose to speak, right? What makes me different from me and Lisa Nichols, right?
Sure.
I have a story just like she has a story, right? However I deliver it is how I deliver it.
I love that. I mean, honest to God, that's really important to me. Out of everything, that's really important to me, because I talk like I talk. And some people, I mean, I went to school. I did. I got me a little bit of education, but I still talk the way I talk. And you either accept me or don't accept me. I'm like an acquired taste, so to speak, I guess. You know what I mean? And so, but the good thing about it is as long as you're okay with it, people will realize what the message is, right?
Yes, I agree. Yes.
So, all right. One last thing before we go into commercial. If someone feels like they never truly loved themselves before, what's the first step to beginning that journey? First step.
Talk to yourself like you would a friend, right? Be kind to yourself. Kindness. Take the first step of being kind. And sit down and write yourself a letter tonight. A letter to yourself, right? A letter of who you are becoming or who you want to become, right? I think that's the first step. Is talk.
Is that like the boards? What do you call them? The vision boards?
Oh yeah, vision board as well. Yeah, you could do that as well. But I was talking more so about like journaling, but just letting it be a letter. Just talking to yourself, who you want to become. Becoming her, right? So you want to become her. For me, becoming her was someone who was confident. Someone who. It's not indecisive, because I was very indecisive. So all these things, I sat down and I wrote a letter to my best version of myself, who I want to become, or who I am, and I just hadn't activated her. So that's where I started, right? And this letter consists of all the qualities and traits and characteristics that who Tamika wanted to embody. And that's how I became her.
Well, we're going to talk about that vision when we come back. Everybody hold on. We'll be right back after this commercial with Ms. Tamika. Welcome back to our final segment of Battle Ready. This is where we tie everything together, stepping boldly into our next chapter. Now, change can feel terrifying, but it's also where growth and transformation live. Tamika, let's talk about it and tell me some truly good things about how you become Battle Ready. And welcome back, Tamika.
Thank you for having me, Ricky. Thank you so much.
You know, I want to say this. We had a little talk in between the segments, and I love this conversation. I think you're doing amazing. I like what you do. So how can somebody else get a hold of you if they want your help in their transformation?
They can follow me on social media, Flawless Life Coaching on Instagram and also Facebook, and also my website, www.flawlesslifecoaching.com. Just click on the discovery call. and we'll connect. You'll fill out a questionnaire and choose your date and time and go from there.
Okay. So many people fear change and find the unknown scary than staying stuck. Why do people resist stepping into the next chapter?
I think a lot of times, Ricky, fear of failure, right? Fear of failure is the biggest one, I think. Also just being comfortable, right? We love our comfort zones. We love being comfortable. And then also false narratives we tell ourselves, right? So we stay comfortable in these false narratives due to fear or stories that society told us, right? Which pretty much created our identity. So we stay stuck, right? And when we fear of stepping out into our next chapter and then the unknown, right? A lot of us are afraid of the unknown. Right? I know I am sometimes, but I think just letting go of that control and stepping out, saying I'm going to do it just because. Last year, I was on NBC in California, and I took I stepped out, right? And I went to Fresno, California, and I was on NBC, and I totally bombed it. I was stuttering, I was scared, nervous, all the things. But guess what, Ricky? I did it. I did it scared, right? So what? I was nervous. So what? I bombed it. But guess what? The first step is taking a step, and I did it.
I will tell you this. I tell everybody the same thing. If you're not failing, you're not trying. I mean, you have to learn from everything. And it goes back to what we said in the very first segment, right? That it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you react to it. And what happens through that, right? And, you know, I think you've come a long way if you said you bombed it, because you're just doing amazing here. But I stuttered all the time, and I just play with it. It doesn't matter. You know, reading is, I can talk, but if I have to read something, oh my gosh, it takes me like 1,000 takes. So I get that. So what's the difference between preparing yourself mentally and actually taking the leap into change?
So the difference, I think, is preparation. I'm gonna give an example.
Okay.
You're studying on becoming a great swimmer, right? That's preparation. Leaping is jumping in that water and just going, right? So that's the difference. You need both, right? Because both helps you to grow, right? But preparation is just you just studying, you just staying there, right? But then that leap, you want to take that leap, right? You want to jump. Go ahead and jump into the water with your little swimmy, your little inflatables on. Just jump into the water and go, right? So that's the difference, right? And my floss method. I know we mentioned that real briefly. I want to go over that. My floss
method. Yeah, let's do that.
That I teach in some of my workshops as well as my one-on-one coaching. Your flaws are your superpower, right? For me, I had to embrace that, right? Because this is me. This is who God made me. Lazy eye and all. Can't change it. This is me, right? So the F, face your fears. That's the first step, facing your fears, right? Whatever fear that is, face it. L, love yourself. Love every part of yourself. So each step we work on, each letter in each step is what we work on. But first, face your fears. L, love yourself first. And then A is accept and approve of your authentic self. However you show up is however you show up, as long as you're growing and becoming her. The fourth one is work through your struggles. Be willing to put in the work, right? There's no growth if you're not working through your struggles or working through anything. Anything in life requires what, Ricky? Work.
Hard work, yeah, for sure.
Right. And then in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're ready to step into your purpose, right? Everyone, put your hand over your heart. Put your hand over your heart. Okay, what do you feel? You feel anything?
Okay, it's going fast right now.
Yeah, feel a heartbeat, right? That's purpose. That's purpose. God is still breathing life into you and you feel that heartbeat. That's purpose. That is purpose.
You know, we talked about the practice earlier, right? And I had a coach tell me a long time ago, practice makes perfect. And then he became really quiet. And he says, that's bull crap. I'm like, and everybody just started looking at him like, what do you mean? And he's like, perfect practice makes perfect. If you do something and you practice it, it's wrong, and you just keep practicing, all you're doing is getting good at doing something wrong. So it's I think with your flaw method is it an opportunity for them to learn themselves and practice perfectly to get
Yes.
the next step.
Yes. And love your flaws. They are your superpowers. They are you. They are you.
For the person watching who's standing on the edge of change but frozen in fear, what's one powerful step that can take today, they can take today and move forward with?
We talked about journaling. So I think just writing down one small action step towards your next chapter, right? And then do it within the next 24 hours, right? A small win or a big win, guess what? It's a win. So just write down one small action. Even if, let's just say, I'm going to quit smoking, right? Which that's big. That's not a small action. That's a big action.
You're right.
Write it down. And maybe you didn't quit that day. Maybe you just smoked one less cigarette that day. That's still a win, right? So just take one small actionable step a day towards whatever goal you want to accomplish. If it's becoming her, becoming the best version of yourself, and or getting rid of, I don't know, surrounding yourself with like-minded people and getting rid of toxic people in your life or whatever it is, just one small actionable step you could take. Just do it. Just do it. Do it scared, but do it.
So I'm gonna, we got a few minutes left, but I want to talk about that thing you just said now. Getting rid of the toxic people. It's okay to cut ties for your own health, right?
Right.
Why is that so scary?
Validation, love, self-love, right? Yeah, validation. I think people need, for whatever reason, that attachment, toxic or not, right? And mindset. You have to shift your mindset, like we talked about before, because if you don't see that person as toxic, right? Or you may see that person as toxic, but for whatever reason, you still attach to that person, right? And likeness attract likeness, right? And many
That's the
times
truth, ain't it?
we are what we see pushed out. So whatever we see on the outside and we gravitating towards it, a lot of times that's us. We just hadn't self-reflected and saw that or believed it.
Well, Tamika, thank you for sharing your wisdom and heart with us today. We've talked about building mental strength, setting boundaries, embracing self-love, and stepping into the next chapter with courage. Each of these lessons reminds us of being battle ready. It's not about avoiding challenges, it's about facing them with clarity, strength, and purpose. To our viewers, remember your next chapter is waiting, and you already have what it takes to step into it. I'm Ricky Chavez, and this has been Battle Ready. Until next time, stay strong, stay focused, and stay battle ready.